from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Tis indeed a good morning. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. How's everybody? We good? What? Oh, let's dance again. Got it. Yep, for sure. 7 o'clock in the morning. Spectacular, of course, as always, to have you guys with us. I am Rob Brown. The great one, Lonzo, is here with us as well. You want to be a part of the radio show? Now is a wonderful time to do it. A spectacular time to do it. The Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone is there for you at 844-326-3663. 844-FANFONE. If you'd like to get at us in that direction, you can text us at 71307, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, FAN, F-A-N. And we'll read them on the air. You can tweet me at the Rob Brown Show. You can tweet Lonzo at Lonzo on Word. You can tweet us both and everybody here at the station by getting at us at the Fan Upstate on X. Live stream is up and running for you, as it is all 4 hours, all 5 days of the week, by going to the Fan Upstate on Facebook or YouTube, the Rob Brown Show on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch, and joining the live stream there. Do want to remind you that coming up in just under an hour and a half from right now, we will be joined on the show by All Elite Wrestling's Orange Cassidy. Two-time.
I'm a little nervous.
AEW.
I'm just a little nervous because he's high-strung, and I'm not sure that I can match that energy.
I mean, we're going to find out. We're going to find out. I'm looking forward to it quite a bit. Like, what a character, right?
I hope he comes in and he puts his feet up on the desk, because that's what he kind of does.
He does.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be rude to a guest, okay? I wouldn't be rude to a guest. I'm a better person than that.
I got an ottoman in the office. I could bring it in and put it right over there.
No, if he does it, he's going on the desk.
Okay, because I want to keep our guests comfortable.
If he does it, he's just going to go on the desk. And again, I shan't be rude to a guest.
Pretty high desk. I made sure I put the chair down so when he put his feet up, they would really be up and in your face, sort of. You know.
Because again, you are being mean and rude this morning. at the same time.
No, I'm trying to make our guest comfortable when he comes in. I'm accommodating.
That's it. That's it. I'm looking very much forward to chatting with the Orange Cassidy coming up this morning at 8:30. But we obviously have a lot of things that have to happen between here and there. I've got your interview coming up in the next segment with Cade Klubnik, the starting quarterback of the Clemson Tigers, and then we will address that interview. To wrap up this out, we will talk with Don Munson, the voice of the Tigers, after that. Orange Cassidy coming up as well. Final hour, a lot of NFL because, and you may not know this, but that's why you're listening to this show. The NFL's Hall of Fame game is coming up on Thursday evening. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not another Thursday night sans football until late February. Huzzah.
I mean, you can talk, I can let it go, but I mean, you know.
No, I'm happy to. I don't think this song has ever been more justified than after the sentence that I just said. Never more justified than once you realize that we don't have another Thursday without football until February.
And I will tell you, at least the first Thursday night game looks like it's going to be pretty good. Maybe we get some good Thursday night games. I think it switched last year. I thought we started getting some good Thursdays, but Sunday night was not that good.
We did start getting some pretty... We got some...
They wanted to keep Al Michaels awake. It's just like, we got to get some better games for Al. He's falling asleep, dude. Herb Street can't keep him up.
Al Michaels is a legend and also totally checked out. My man got his Amazon check and totally checked out. So, yeah, I'm hoping we're going to get some better Thursday games this year. What I do know is, as of right now, I'll take whatever you want to give me, all right? Thursday, Hall of Fame game, preseason football. I don't give a rip. Give it to me. Inject it into my veins. We got Thursday night ball, and I can't wait.
And it's what? Texans-Bears, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, that's looking forward to seeing year two of C.J. Stroud.
Looking forward to seeing year one of Caleb Williams, for sure. That's going to be a fun match. It's going to be a very fun, very interesting matchup. So we'll talk some NFL ball in the final hour show. But before we get to any of that, ladies and gentlemen, we got to start with this. The Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports this morning, as we are just a wee bit behind. What do you say we dive right in with item number one? Major League Baseball trade deadline is this evening. 6 p.m. is the last opportunity for Major League Baseball teams to go ahead and make the moves that they believe will add them into the race for World Series contenders or to keep them there. Last night, we ended the trade deadline eve with the move by the Atlanta Braves. They went out and they got Jorge Soler. You all, if you are a Braves fan, will remember that Jorge Soler was a massively important part of the Braves' run to a World Series in 2021. Soler came over from the Royals, became an integral part of the lineup, and in Game 6 of that World Series against the Astros, had a home run that I believe is still orbiting planet Earth at this point. Jorge Soler joins the Braves along with right-handed relief pitcher Luke Jackson. Jackson was also a member of that Braves World Series team. In return, the San Francisco Giants are going to pick up Tyler Matzek, a left-handed relief pitcher, and infielder Sabin Ceballos. He is, of course, a prospect, a minor leaguer. I'm very lukewarm on this move for Atlanta, all right? On one hand, you need an outfielder. You got a lot of guys that are dinged up out there. You need an outfielder. And Jorge Soler is that outfielder. This is a dude that you can stick out there while Ronnie is out for the year, while Money Mike is still working on coming back. There's a lot of opportunity here for Jorge Soler to come in and be a dude. It's also a bat. Now, he's only got a dozen dingers on the season, but he is batting .240, which right now puts him, honestly, towards the top of offensive production for the Atlanta Braves in his entrance or his return to the ATL. But outside of that, like, is it big time? Is it something that is like, oh, the Braves are back, baby? No, not really. The Giants are offloading. That's why they went with this, to move those guys over. It just kind of is what it is. Other moves around the deadline, Frankie Montas is headed to the Brewers in return for Joey Weimer and Jacob Junis. The Brewers needed pitching. They got pitching. Now, Montas, not a huge move. A one-year $14 million deal for the Reds this year that the Brewers are going to pick up here. Their rotation with a 4.1 ERA has them 16th in the majors. They're also getting volume out of this in terms of innings pitched. Why? They've had to dig deep. They've had to go with Dallas Keuchel, amongst others, because they're getting decent production but not great length out of their starters. And that's why they go in this direction. Ahmad Rosario is going to move from Tampa Bay out to the LA Dodgers. The Dodgers did the same thing last year. They traded Noah Syndergaard to Cleveland for Ahmad Rosario. Rosario left in the offseason. They bring him back again, this time in return for Michael Flynn. Pretty even move overall. Yusei Kikuchi will move from Toronto over to the Houston Astros. This is a prototypical move for Houston. Kikuchi is a guy that's okay. He's okay. He's not blowing you off the page, but the Astros need a little depth. They are still waiting on Justin Verlander to come back. They do have Framber Valdez and Hunter Brown as well. They've got Ronel Blanco in that rotation as well. Kikuchi gives you a stable middle-of-the-rotation guy. Lane Thomas is headed from the Nats to the Guardians. Justin Turner from the Jays out to the Mariners. The Dodgers picked up Michael Kopech as well in a three-team trade that also involved Tommy Pham being sent from the White Sox to the Cardinals, and the White Sox basically picking up a list of prospects and some cash considerations from the White Sox as well. Ty France moving from the Mariners to the Reds in return for Andrew Salcedo. Michael Lorenzen going from the Rangers to the Royals. That's the moves we got last night. The deadline again today at 6 p.m. We'll see if anything else pops up. Let's go to item number two. The U.S. Olympic women's basketball team got their 2024 games underway yesterday, and they smoked Japan in a game that was not particularly close. 102-76 was your final in this one. Stop me if you've heard it before, but Angel Wilson, pretty good at basketball. 10 of 16 for 24 points and 13 rebounds as well. He got 22 out of Brianna Stewart, 11 from Plum, Ionescu, and Griner as well. Everybody else in the single digits, but they didn't really need anybody else to do anything else at this point. They just straight up overwhelmed the Japanese. Japan was able to keep this thing relatively close. They were down 7 after the opening 10-minute quarter. But that had more to do with the fact that the Americans shot just 4 of 20 from the three-point line. 4 of 20 from the three-point line. That's got to get better. They did shoot 55% from the floor, including that 4 of 20 from deep. So the sniper's going to have to sniper better moving forward. But as of right now, the Americans with a nearly 30-point win last night in game number one of the women's run to a basketball gold medal. Again, about as good as you could ask for in that spot. Let's go to item number three. Item number three is effectively going to be the medal count for the Olympics moving forward. 20 now after picking up another 8 total yesterday, still sitting on 3 gold medals in the men's 4x100 meter freestyle relay, the women's 100 meter butterfly won by Tori Husk, and women's individual foil fencing, Lee Kiefer won gold in that. But we do now have 8 silver medals as well as 9 bronze medals for the Americans so far, and starting to put a little bit of separation between us and the field. There are a few countries, including France, Japan, China, Australia, and South Korea, that have more golds than we do. But the overall medal count, heavy in favor of the Americans. 20 total medals for the U.S. The next closest team, France, who picked up their 16th medal yesterday. Japan has a dozen, as does China. Great Britain has 10, 9 apiece for Australia and South Korea, 8 for Italy, 5 for Canada, and everybody else has 3 or fewer so far in these games. Obviously, this thing going all the way to, what is it, the 16th of August or something like that. So there's still a lot of events taking place between here and there. But the Americans now jumping out to an early lead. The majority of the 20 are bronze, but the Americans lead the medal board right now. When we come back here in just a minute, as I mentioned, got the opportunity to talk to Cade Klubnik, the starting quarterback for the Clemson Tigers this season. We will play that interview for you when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to take just a moment to tell you about our friends at New Life Weight Loss. I am getting married in September, and when I started working with New Life, I was 262 pounds, and I'm going to keep myself honest. I was not happy with myself, like as a person, right? I did not feel good about myself. I couldn't fit in my old clothes anymore. It was disgusting. I just didn't like it. So I got a call one day from one of our lovely folks downstairs that said, would you like to work with New Life Weight Loss? Would you like to talk with them and see if maybe they can help you drop some LBs? And I said, yeah, let me do that. So I went and I talked with the folks at New Life. And you know what they did for me? They built me a weight loss plan that worked. Not just worked in terms of helping me drop the LBs, not just worked in terms of helping me drop the inches off the waistline, but it worked for me. It worked for my life. It worked for my schedule. It was fantastic. I am now down under 220 pounds, well on my way to my goal weight. I have lost over 42 pounds so far. Now, if you've been hesitant, if you've been back and forth, should I do it? Now's the time. Why? Because there is a summer special running for listeners of the Fan Upstate, but it runs through August 31st. If you call New Life Weight Loss If you get into the program with New Life Weight Loss, and if you tell them Rob Brown sent you, they will take $250 off your plan right now. Call My New Life Weight Loss. You can go to their website at mynewlifeweightloss.com if you want to learn, if you want to read, but trust me, it's worked. Again, over 42 and a half pounds. Call them right now at 864-686-5820, 864-686-5820. Mention that you heard it on the Rob Brown Show and get $250 off now through August 31st with our friends at last week, ACC Media Days up in Charlotte, North Carolina, Thursday. Was Clemson Day, which means Dabo Swinney and Barrett Carter and Cade Klubnik and some other folks, Don Munson, all came through. Got a chance after the show was over on Thursday to sit down and have some conversations with the fellas, including this year's starting quarterback for the Clemson Tigers, Cade Klubnik. Here is last week's interview with the young man that will be under center for Clemson this season.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So there you have it, our discussion with Cade Klubnik last week at ACC Media Days. Couple of things, and I will start with this. Dude was Lonzo, and I'm just going to keep it a buck on this. Completely checked out, right? Like he just I think he's tired of being asked the questions. I really do. I think, and I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt here and say, dude's just locked in and ready to play football because he, like you could tell when we were getting towards the end of the interview, and if you were listening, you may have heard it, but you ask him a question, and he's just like, Georgia. Yeah. You know, we had a great off season and we carried the momentum and, you know, we just want to go. It was, and I get it. It's coach speak. My man's doing 47 interviews
guys,
in a row.
These guys conditioned is the wrong word. They are taught before they go to these things to expect certain questions and here's how we expect you to answer. And some guys can make it sound more natural than others. But, of course, they've been told, hey, they're going to ask you this. Here's the Clemson way to answer. Or here's the Georgia way to answer. Here's the Florida State way to answer. Here's the Ohio State. I mean, all schools, when they go to these things, they talk to their players beforehand. And because they don't want them going out there and giving bulletin board material or saying something that, you know, is not what the message that the coaches want out there. So, of course, it's going to be coaches' speech because they're coached how to say it. The most natural thing is when he talked about the video games. And then you got a glimpse of who he is without, you know, doing what he was taught to do.
I don't think that's wrong. Scratch that. I know that you are right. You are correct.
He is not any different than any other player. I'm not singling him out as far as that goes, but that's how that works.
I am going to say you are correct, but also it's further than that to me. Because we also spoke with Barrett Carter. And if you guys are interested, I'll play that interview. I may just post it on our social later on. Barrett Carter, linebacker for Clemson. Barrett Carter, to me, was far more involved in the interview, right? Like, Cade, I think it wasn't just the coach speak. It was, if I can be honest, and again, this is not anything I'm holding against the guy, not anything I'm upset about. I get it. Like I said, my man had two press conferences and breakout interviews and 30 different radio stations to do an interview with that day. But by the end of that interview, he was almost dismissive. It was less, I'm giving you the coach speak answers that I've been coached up to give you, and more, dog, another question about Georgia, really. Like, it wasn't we had a good offseason and we carried the momentum forward and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. It was like, I wish I would have gone live on camera or recorded it on camera, because at one point during the Georgia interview, during the Georgia question, when I was wrapping up the question, and again, I know it wasn't anything that was wildly compelling.
I want to say your question made it sound like that you knew they were going to lose. So I think that bothered him.
Maybe it did. And maybe that's it. And again, I'm not even saying this isn't a little bit on me. It may have been. You may be right. But I asked that question, and the question effectively was, what do you guys want to do in this game on August 31st? What do you guys want to do in this game to announce to the country that Clemson ball is back? And as I was asking that question, he leaned back in the chair and legitimately rolled his eyes over. And so I am putting my mindset or assuming that he is in the mindset here of, I'm so tired of questions and I just want to play ball. Because it almost came across as a bit of an attitude. And I get it. The guy's been listening for a year and a half about how his fault.
Yeah, and I'm glad he had a little bit of an attitude. I mean, he needed to. And again, the way you asked the question, probably not something that he's asked in other radio stations. That's all I'm going to say. They're going to be a little bit nicer.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, and you could have been meaner how you asked it. You were very careful, but it was obvious that you were saying, hey, you're not going to win against Georgia.
No, I'm not going to go that far.
That's what I heard.
I think what I meant was, you guys are dogs. You know you're a dog. I know you're a dog. How are you going to go in there and say, we're not underdogs, we're still Clemson, we're still on top? But like I said, it was like it was a back in the chair, the eye rolled. It was just very interesting, the kind of way that he delivered that attitude. All right. Your text, welcome, 71307. Start your text with Fan. Clemson fans, your reaction to that discussion with Cade Klubnik when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Lonzo and I were having a discussion off the air, but on the stream, and you should be watching the stream, facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, YouTube, The Fan Upstate. Search and subscribe. You can also check out The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. We stream the show live every single day across all of those platforms and pages. We were having a discussion during the break where Lonzo said what he heard from the question that I asked Cade Klubnik was, hey, you guys can't win this game, so what are you going to do within it to identify yourself? You guys are the dogs. No one believes you can win it. What are you going to do to kind of show that you're them? You're still here. You're still Clemson. You're still, a top-tier program. And let me be clear. My question was not intended to say or imply any of that. I think it would obviously be dishonest if we sat there and went, oh, you know, you guys are every bit as good as Georgia. Right now, there's nothing to lean on that says that is the case. So my intent there was to allow Cade Klubnik the opportunity, should he elect to take it, to say, hey, in that game, we want to be extra physical. We want to own the line of scrimmage. We want to do this. We want to do that. Whatever, right? It was to give him the opportunity to say, screw that. We're going to beat him. We can beat him. We're gonna throw for 1,000 yards. We're going to put 78 points up, whatever, right? It was designed to give him the opportunity to kind of define what Cade Klubnik, the starting quarterback for the Clemson Tigers, expects out of said Clemson Tigers in that game. But for whatever reason, that question really bothered him. And Lonzo said it was because it was kind of a slap in the face. It was kind of a question that implied, you guys can't win this game, so what do you need to take a moral victory away from this, right? What do you need to walk out of there, even though you are going to lose? What do you need to walk out of there having something to grow on in a loss? Good. Wasn't the intent. Wasn't what I wanted it to be. And if it was taken that way, then it's fully understandable why it was that Cade Klubnik slouched in his chair and rolled his eyes at me. All right? But that's not what it was intended for. What it was intended for was to give him the opportunity within the context of the one game that I wanted to specifically ask about, the context of the biggest contest on their, or the most difficult contest on their schedule this year, to give the starting quarterback the opportunity to say, here's what we want to accomplish in that game. We want to get Maffa X touches, or we want to have a this percentage completion percentage, or I want to be responsible for this, that, or the other, whatever, right? Like, I wanted to open the floor for him to say, when Clemson takes on UGA at the end of next month, to get everything started up, what I expect out of us is blank. And he wanted no part of that, right? He wanted no part of that. He rolled his eyes, he leaned back in the chair, and he started saying, again, just the dictionary of coach speak, just a list of coach speak phrases. We had a great off season. We're carrying the momentum over. We're holding ourselves to a higher standard. All right, fine. I don't have any issue with any of those answers. I know that very rarely are you going to get a question like that and have a guy say something that's going to get me splattered across the front of Yahoo Sports website the next day. It's not really how that game gets played. But, like I said, I could take this one of two ways. And I am giving Cade Klubnik the benefit of the doubt here. The negative way that I could take it The negative way that I could take it is this. Cade Klubnik is, you know, got a bad attitude. Is the way. In fact, I have worked with people before who I shan't name, but I've worked with people before. That's what they do, right? They say, he's got a bad attitude. He's a sourpuss. He's got a bad attitude. He's negative. You know, this was an opportunity for him to promote his guys, an opportunity for him to talk about how wonderful things are and how the offense is flowing and how everything's coming together. And he gave us none of that. He just gave us a litany of coach speak phrases. He gave us none of those things. That's not what I'm going to do. What I am going to do is go the other direction. What I'm going to do is I am going to give him the benefit of the doubt and believe that this came from a place of, I'm tired of these questions. I'm tired of talking. I'm tired of being asked the same things in different words. I just want to strap on the helmet. I want to lace up the cleats. I want to put the shoulder pads on, tie them up, clip them on, get onto the field in Atlanta, Georgia, and I just want to go play football. That's going to be my takeaway. Because what I will say is this, and here's the editorialized portion of this segment. If it really is attitude-based, I've already told you, I think DJ Uiagalelei failed at Clemson because of his attitude. Okay? Now, I give him credit too. I don't think that attitude issue was a DJ Uiagalelei caused problem. I think that attitude problem was caused by Big Dave, and I think that attitude problem was caused by Dabo Swinney, but the attitude problem existed nonetheless. If Cade has an attitude problem, not the same type, but if he has an attitude problem with the way that he views the offense, maybe Dabo. I pointed out to Dabo in the interview, my man, you are throwing a lot of blame from last year on Cade Klubnik, directly and by name. If that is having an impact on him, that is changing the way that he sees the game, approaches the game, maybe enjoys playing the game, then it will be another long season for Clemson.
See, I think it's more about expectations, lofty expectations, not only from a team, which you should have those, but from a fan perspective because of two quarterbacks. And those two quarterbacks, until they're way in the distant past, until Deshaun Watson and Sunshine are way in the past, any quarterback coming into Clemson has to live up to those expectations. And those, they're lofty. They really are, because those two guys were special. And I think there was spoiling that went on, thinking, well, the next guy's going to be special too. DJ's not a bad quarterback. Neither is Cade. They're playing at a D1 school. You've got to be pretty good to do that. But neither one of those guys are Sunshine or Deshaun Watson.
I agree with that. And again,
and you have to hear the noise. I mean, how do you tune that out if you're that player?
That is kind of what I was for a while there, kind of what I said I thought was the primary problem for DJ Uiagalelei, right? I think Big Dave and Dabo kind of convinced DJ that he was the next that guy. He was the heir apparent to the Clemson quarterback throne. You put on this helmet, you wear the single-digit number, you earn the QB1 title, and you just ascend to astronomical heights by way of being here. And it turns out that ain't how it works. That's not how it works at all. And so if that was the expectation, and then Cade had a year last year that didn't go as expected, and as I mentioned, because he did it at the open house a couple of weeks ago. He did it in the big time press conference. He did it in the breakout interview. And he did it on our interview. Last year did not go expected. And on top of that, when asked about it, Dabo said multiple times, it was on Cade. He had too many fumbles. He had too many TFLs. He had too many bad picks. He had too many bad reads. He made too many bad decisions. Yada, yada, yada. And I asked the question, does that weigh on him? Is he hearing that? Because I asked Dabo, how do you, as a coach, on one hand, sit here on this radio show wearing that headset and say, Cade did this wrong, and he 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 did this wrong, and then turn around, look that guy in the face, and encourage him, and help him grow, and help him become more motivated, et cetera, et cetera. And Dabo's answer was like, eh, well, it's part of coaching, and he's a good kid. He gets it. And then I do this interview with Cade where he is very clearly, to me, subjectively, flustered, checked out, short on attention. And I'm not saying he's that way to football. He was to me. He was to our interview, and that's all well and good. But I heard that. I saw that. I watched that out of him, and I was thinking to myself, if that kid brings this mentality as a quarterback into the offense, you guys are getting hammered this year.
Which they might do anyway, but I understand where he's coming from. How many times have you made me roll my eyes?
Like three today.
Yeah, I mean, so I feel a kinship with him now. I probably won't make fun of him anymore. On the stream, Steven says maybe he heard the kitten. You know, I doubt that he did, but if he did, here's the thing. Rob is not the negative guy about Clemson. That's me, and I'm never going to change. If they tell me to stop doing it, I probably won't be on the air anymore, and that's fine. I've earned my disdain, or you guys have earned my disdain. But Rob has never done that before.
And also, Rob was one-man banding this thing. I was recording, editing, putting this whole thing together. Alonzo was even there to aggravate Cade.
Yeah,
so we're clear.
Because I said no, because I didn't want to go.
He did say no.
I said no, and for other reasons, but I said no. And I don't know what questions I would have asked him. But I may have jumped in when you asked a question and made it worse. I don't know. Maybe.
Like I said, I don't know enough about the kid. I know I've interviewed him three times. We interviewed him at last year's ACC Media Days. I interviewed him in a Clemson post game last year. And then I interviewed him at this year's ACC Media Days. And what I will tell you is, and I'm not saying this is inherently bad, because I don't think we know yet. Last year's ACC Media Day, Cade Klubnik, and this year's ACC Media Day, Cade Klubnik, were different Cade Klubniks. They were different guys. And of course, it's a college kid. He's growing up, right? He's going through his college experiences. He's learning about himself as a football player and a dude. Of course, his mentality's going to change. But last year, he had what we were all kind of jokingly describing. A friend of the show, Susan, described last year at ACC Media Days, Cade Klubnik is having big golden retriever energy. And as soon as I started talking to him last year, I'm like, oh, I get it. That's right. That's a good description. This year, it was more like golden retriever Rottweiler mix energy. Like, he was still Cade. Like, he was still like, oh, you heard at the end when we asked him about the college football take. He kind of loosened up and laughed a little bit.
Right.
But when we were talking ball, there was a, I don't want to use any particular word to describe it, but there was a different energy about Cade Klubnik and the way that he was talking football this year as compared to the same event, same time, same interview last year.
Everybody in every job, more, I can't say everybody, the majority of people, I believe, feel beat down at some point and feel like, you know, no matter what, people are coming at you negatively. You're doing your best, but it's not good enough for everybody else. And you just get tired of being asked a question. That's what it sounds like. I mean, you start losing the, I'm so excited to be here. And you get more of, oh, great. What did I do this time? And hopefully that doesn't translate to the field.
Texas said he is the leader of a Division I football team that is supposedly going for a championship. He should be able to do the interviews no problem. A team reflects its leaders, end quote. Texter said, I'm not a Clemson fan or Georgia fan, but before you guys even started talking about it, I said to myself, he just insulted the quarterback by implying they had absolutely no chance. By the way, he worded his question. Wasn't my intent, but I understand. Texter says, to me, it sounded like you asked a coach's question to a player. Well, he's the quarterback. If there's one guy I'm going to ask that, it's the quarterback, right? Back after this for the third hour. Orange Cassidy joins us in a little over half an hour here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
The Atlanta Braves made a trade before the deadline, acquiring outfielder Jorge Soler.
Roll the R.
Yeah, I can't do it. And right-handed reliever Luke Jackson from the Giants in return for reliever Tyler Matzek and prospect Sabin Cabales. Soler and Jackson were both members of Atlanta's 2021 World Series winning team. Soler has a dozen home runs and a .240 average, while Jackson has struck out 13 to 9 innings of relief work in July. One of the most anticipated events of the Olympic Games, the men's triathlon has been delayed from today's scheduled start due to the water is bad. Happens almost everywhere the Olympics goes. I mean, fix your water, people. Hopefully they'll get that together eventually. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun. That's all Wire to Wire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.